This sermon on sharing our good news is adapted from one by Reverend Karen Anderson. I have a confession. There have been times when I've spotted certain people walking toward my front door, and I have hidden. I'd glance out the window, see two neatly dressed folks with pamphlets in their hands, and find myself crouching low behind a chair, motioning my family to keep quiet until they went away. Why hide? Because I knew that they were there to evangelize, to share their faith in a way that, for me, felt intrusive. Maybe you've done something similar, or maybe you're braver than I am, and you've opened the door. But even if you've never hidden, perhaps the word evangelism or proselytizing make you a bit uneasy. Here's the funny thing. While I was tucked away, two thoughts often went through my mind. First, I'd think, well, at least they care enough to show up. They believe their tradition can help people. They want to connect to others with what gives their lives meaning. And while I may not share their theology, I can appreciate the intent, especially when it's done without coercion or harm. Second, I'd start to imagine, what if I didn't know this faith of ours existed? I daydream about what life would be like if I hadn't found this religious tradition and how lost and isolated I'd feel. I think of the people I know, all those couples where one grew up Catholic and the other is Jewish, one Muslim and the other Hindu, one Lutheran and the other unchurched. What about them? Where do they go without this faith, without knowing this religious tradition? Do they feel isolated, vulnerable, or disconnected? I think about the LGBTQ community. Some go to Christian communities who preach, quote, hate the sin and love the sinner. I wonder if they feel out of place with their religious community. Are they longing to know about churches like ours? There are Christian congregations that proclaim that they're open to LGBTQ community and have big rainbow flags on their website. But then they have issues with those who are trans, gender fluid, or gender binary. There are even those people in the LGBT community who aren't a part of any religious community. And through subtle and not so subtle ways, sometimes want to climb back into the closet because they feel like second-class citizens, vulnerable to judgment, the retraction of laws, and shame. Where do they go? I think of those parents wanting to raise their children with strong character and moral values, but questioning whether or not there's a church which will stand by them when they feel all the world's religious traditions have something to offer their child, not just the one that they are being taught. Where do they go? Do they know about us? Without this tradition, what would I do? I know I'd feel somewhat, if not seriously, disconnected from humanity. I know that I'd feel shunned on some level. Because if you say you're a non-theist, or use the dreaded A word, that's atheist for those of you wondering, all of a sudden you're judged and thrown in the garbage heap of moral impropriety with murderers, rapists, and other, well, atheists. Without our tradition, I could try a liberal Christian church, which might work, but I'd have to do a lot of translating of language, rituals, and theological constructs. Or I could go to the local Zen center, but my penchant for putting my values into action, my quest for social justice, likely would not make it a good fit. What if I never stumbled across a community where belief is wide open, where diversity is celebrated, where Christian questions are welcome? What would that feel like? For some people, not having that knowledge means real isolation. Without knowing communities like ours exist, these people may never experience the connection and acceptance we've found here. By the time I'm done with squatting behind my chair, I find I stand because I feel buoyant. I'm incredibly grateful that our congregation offers a different kind of good news. I am proud and honored of our tradition. Now let me be clear, I'm not saying we're perfect. In fact, we realize that all of our UU congregations need to keep learning and keep reforming so that we are truly welcoming and not harming others. This work is important and a priority. And right alongside our decentering and justice work, there is also this work of getting comfortable sharing who we are. The Reverend Nathan Dietering gets at it this way when he says, and I quote, "For years, we've assumed that people who need us will eventually find us without our help. We've sometimes let our reaction against religious conservatism keep us from doing or affirming anything that might lead people to think we're actually religious ourselves. And as a result, we've missed many, many opportunities to make a positive difference in the world and in people's lives." That line is such a zinger, isn't it? We've missed many, many opportunities to make a positive difference in the world and in people's lives. I guarantee you that those folks who are hiding behind their chairs and sofas in their living rooms when religious right comes to call don't have the same reaction that I do. They aren't grateful Unitarian Universalism is around. Instead, they're left isolated, lonely, vulnerable, and disconnected because they don't know about us, which, by the way, is not their fault. It's our fault. And if they knew any of you, folks they may love and trust, and you didn't tell them about a place where they could go to get connected, help them live without isolation, feel welcome and accepted, and feel home, perhaps, for the first time in their lives, and you didn't tell them about it, wouldn't they have every right to call you selfish? If you're willing to tell them about your favorite local pizza joint, but not about the place that gives your life spiritual grounding, meaning, connection, and inspiration, then they'd be right. Well, a little ticked off. All they want to do you to do is share, to simply let them know we are out there. You see, when your friends ask you to share your faith with them, they're asking you to share the good news, our good news. And here's the thing, we do have good news to share. Our kind of good news is different. It's deeds over creeds. It's about acceptance, not exclusion. It's open spirituality rather than enforced conformity. It's more concerned with living well now than earning points for the hereafter. The sharing of good news is more than, quote, "if you're this," end quote, option. Rather, a "you should believe this" option. Ours is an invitation rather than an argument or a debate. Ours is an offering rather than an imposing, convincing, or damning if you don't. What do I mean? Let's take the standard "you should" option. The argument goes, "You should like Italian food rather than Thai food, and let me tell you why Italian is better." The contrast, our offering of faith, is more like this. "If you like Thai food, man, have we got the best Thai food around." We're not telling people what they should believe. Instead, we offer, if you're seeking a deeper connection, if you want to be a part of the diverse community that works for justice and compassion, then you might like it here. It's an invitation, not an argument. It's a welcome, not a warning. It's a gift, not a demand. For too long, we've assumed that those who will need us will somehow find us without our help. That assumption has cost us many opportunities to make a positive difference in the world and in people's lives. Because here's the truth. There are people who would love this community, who might even need this community, but they've never heard of it. If they know you and you've never told them, they might feel you've kept something important from them. Think of it this way. If you're willing to recommend your favorite coffee shop or streaming series, but you've never mentioned the community that grounds you spiritually and connects you to others, well, you might be holding back the very thing they've been searching for. And sharing doesn't have to be complicated. It could be as simple as inviting a friend to join you for a discussion group or a coffee hour. Mentioning to a coworker that your congregation talked about a book they'd love. Letting a neighbor know your doors are open to people of all backgrounds and beliefs. When we share, aren't we saying that we know better? We are saying we know what it is like to have to hide your beliefs or hide yourself, because this often upside-down culture of ours is scary. We're not trying to save anyone's soul. It's that we know isolation suffocates all of our souls. It's not that we want to argue or convince. It's that we feel grateful beyond words for what we've found here. And out of gratitude for that great gift, we want to share it. We're simply saying, you don't have to go it alone. Inside these walls, many of us have heard that message in countless ways. It lifts us when we've been low. It challenges us when we've been complacent, and reminds us we are a part of something larger than ourselves. Dare I say, it has saved us? That is too precious to keep to ourselves, too important a message to stay stuck inside this lovely building. So let's take it beyond these walls. Let's tell the world there is a place where love is at the center, where difference is celebrated, and where we work together to heal the disconnections within us and among us. Let's give to the world this beautiful gift we've been given and offer a welcome like no other, with open hearts, minds, and arms. May we be bold enough to share that invitation gently, joyfully, and often. Amen.
Oh, I guess they're not even going to introduce me. I'm Annie. For any of you who don't know, we have congregational discussion after sermons. So does anybody have any comments they want to start with?
This is really important to me because I don't go and share a lot about our church. Because I don't want the backlash or the weird looks. But that's not really fair to people. I do remember there was a woman that I used to work with, and there was a couple other people that were around, and she was asking me about my church, and she was very Christian. I mean, she would talk about being Christian, how important that was to her. So the thing that came to my mind right away was, I said, we don't worship Jesus, we don't have a God or creed, but our values and principles are very much along the lines of Jesus' teachings. And man, she bought that. That was great. I was so pleased at how that went, and I could see that she could understand that. I would love to hear from people who have joined recently and what brought you here.
Good question. Any of you new people want to agree? This is Tyler.
I'll segue into a thought, but I actually came here because I We'd been looking for a church, and we went to a few that were not what we were looking for, very hellfire brimstone kind of churches. I actually was looking for something, and I was like, what if I just started my own church? And I like was plugging into ChatGPT, like, I want this and this and this, and then it says, like, you pretty much just described you. And so I was like, oh, cool, and there's one not too far. Back when I was going to Catholic church a lot, I remember a sermon about, that they said, you should live your life in a way that, like, is a shining beacon and draws people in. I don't know that when I was going to Catholic church, I ever really felt that. And even a lot of other things I believe in, like environmentalism, like, you know, we have an electric car, but it's expensive. Like, try to eat less meat, but meat's delicious. I feel like I should be more of a beacon with UU because there's really, I don't know, it's not hard. There's no, I don't see a lot of downsides other than people being ingrained in their beliefs and their lack of knowledge.
Thanks for sharing.
I'm Rebecca. I'm newer to the church. I think what brought me here and then my husband occasionally is looking for that. I grew up in a Catholic church as well, and like have wonderful memories from the community aspect of that church, and like, you know, made wonderful friends and felt like I was looking for a place for community and also that aligned with our values currently that don't align with the Christian church anymore. My husband and I have both come a long way in our thinking, but I feel like I read somewhere that like UU was the church of being a good human, and that's that's what I want for my kids and for our family, and it aligns with our values. So that's kind of what we were drawn to here.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm here for the community. I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness and also as a Wiccan. That makes sense. So I liked your joke, by the way, Sam. And, you know, when you're 6 years old until you're, I don't know, I was there until, I don't remember. You have inner dialogue, and the Jehovah's Witnesses are very straight-laced. It's very, do this. This is, here's your instructions. Here's your word for the day. Do that. There is no deviating. And I appreciate that we deviate. Constantly, I think that's the most valuable thing about, not to mention that I feel like I can be myself, which you mentioned fire and brimstone. I think I am that, but in the opposite direction they want me to be. So I can do that here.
I'm glad you mentioned the word deviate. I don't think we deviate, we certainly don't deviate from our principles. I mean, that's what holds us together. I mean, so, and within those principles, you can do a lot of different things. I just spent, I went back to New York to have a family reunion with my two brothers and two sisters. And we didn't really get into any discussion about spirituality, or we should have, but I think I'd be afraid of where that conversation would go with my I have one brother that is convinced, well, he believes in God and Jesus, and he's, as long as he continues that belief, he's gonna have a good afterlife in heaven. And so I didn't want to challenge any of that. And my two sisters and other brothers are somewhere in between him and me. So.
Anybody else?
Read it.
Read it.
Hi, I'm Rita. And what I want to mention about the UU Church is that I think there's a lot of people that they're brought up the way their parents believed. You know, and then as you get older, you start to have a little disillusionment about what they're telling you. Maybe you don't believe everything. But what I like about this church is there are people, lots of people here, that you can have discussions with to get new ideas, who, you know, to understand what you don't believe about how you were raised, and just get new thoughts, new ways to look at things, you know. You know, maybe just anything under the sun, like maybe a Buddhist perspective, or just different ideas that I feel like I've been able to weave into what I believe. And what I believe, I think, changes. I think it can change. Maybe it should change. But that's just what I appreciate about the church.
Thanks, Annie. I'm Grace, Joe's mom. So I grew up in a very strict Church of Christ atmosphere. And I was in that till I was 19. And then it was kind of like at that stage where I started listening to the sermons. And forgive me for saying it, but I was like, hell no, that's not me. I'm not into this domination and obedience and all that kind of thing. So I went to the other end of things with paganism and Wiccan, the Wiccan lifestyle, which is where he gets his Wiccan background and his father who became a Jehovah Witness and all that kind of stuff. And to be truthful, all of this stuff that I learned as a kid and everything else, it brought me to a place of not believing in any God, period. So it's kind of, I'm actually here for Joe, as you know, supporting him as he's my child and so forth. But I do like it. You know, every morning, every Sunday morning, probably like maybe to some extent you guys do it too, I say, would I rather lay in bed and enjoy my cover and the thunderstorm, or should I get up and take a shower and go to church? And I do enjoy it here. I enjoy all of you and meeting all of you and listening to your ideas and the differences between us. And it is thought-provoking, and it's very enjoyable for me. So I'm here for him, but I'm also starting to be here for me and for you guys, too. So I'm happy to be here.
I appreciate I feel like this is a microcosm of democracy. I feel like this is not a testing ground, but we're all bashing our thoughts together, so to speak, and kind of creating new things. And I appreciate that a lot. I've learned a lot here.
Father, I saw a hand. I had, way back in 1993, I was at a trans conference, and I attended a workshop on Earth-centered religion or spirituality, led by what we now call a two-spirit person, somebody who's in indigenous culture, crosses gender boundary and is seen as a special spiritual person. And at the end of the workshop, she looked around at about 40 people of European ancestry and says, your culture very badly needs the energy and ideas and that I have as a two-spirit person in my culture, and challenged us to try and find that role. Well, let me tell you, that's really tough in American culture, because first of all, most people never even heard of two-spirit. But anyway, so for me, this is a place where I get to practice my spirituality, be to some extent a leader, and try and help people grow and understand things better. And so that's kind of my role, and I think I'm kind of, at least to some extent, accepted in that role. So, but it's pretty special to find a place where you can do that. Anybody next?
I just wanted to add that I belong to a chatter group. I don't know how many people belong to the Facebook chatter groups. And they could be pretty nasty, even from the Christians. They feel okay being Christian and being nasty. But there have been people on there who have asked, you know, they've said, I have a gay or lesbian son or daughter, And are there any churches that we could go to that would be welcoming? And there are people that would say, yeah, there's this church in Danville, Unitarian Universalist Church, and they didn't even necessarily go here. But the fact that they knew about it was wonderful news.